Good morning, this is Rob. Who's on, please?
Hey, Rob, it's Sean.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
Good.
Good.
Thanks. Michael's on also.
Okay, welcome. Still waiting on Rob?
Yeah, still waiting on Rob.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Rob is having train troubles coming from New York.
Okay.
Well, how have you been, Rob?
I've been great, thank you.
We, I think, wanted to take some time today to get some of your sage advice.
Okay.
On how to deal with the continuing saga that is the firm we work for. And the continued drip of negative news. I'll give you a little tidbit or a backstory on what's happened with us in the last 30 days, and maybe that'll give you some insights on how to answer, or at least give us some guidance on the direction we should take. Our second largest relationship, which is a defined benefit plan that Rob and I started August 31st, 2004 with a $1 million deposit, has one moved from Bank of America to Wachovia, Wells Fargo with us, and that has grown, and the relationship is cultivated into an approximately $55 million relationship today. And as a result of the continued news from Wells Fargo, and this is the NEA, National Education Association Member Benefits Corporation pension plan, as a result of Wells Fargo's continued affiliation with the NRA, and you may have seen this news here last week, but the National Teachers Federation and the NEA are ceasing the mortgage business tied to Wells Fargo. And as a result, from our most recent quarterly meeting that we had with them 10 days ago, they came out and stated that they may be in a position to where their hands are tied and will have to pull the defined benefit plan from Wells Fargo. Subsequently, after announcing this, they actually asked us when you guys are leaving Wells Fargo, and if not, could you make our job a lot easier, and please do. And we've, continued to be, fielding questions and concerns from clients, on our 12-2 calls, and are just in the, process of, really just trying to ward off the continued drip and client concerns that exist out there. And would love to get your take on if you've dealt with this or a similar situation with other folks at other firms in the past.
Was that Rob that just checked in? Who just checked in?
No, it's Claudia.
Hi, Claudia.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is a, it's a very sensitive area for me as a consultant to talk about. We all the firms have their chance, we call them in the hot seat or chance in the bowl, and everybody's been there. Every firm has, stubs their toe and somebody beats them up. As a stockholder, I've been frustrated too because it's hurt the stock. So I probably shouldn't really comment on it. It's just as it's as frustrating for stockholders as it is for employees. And so I guess that's something you guys are going to have to talk about. I don't know. You're in a little bit unique situation, right, because of your position. Well, I don't know. I don't know. You guys, it's kind of one of, it's a tough thing. It's like, it's the worst thing that a consultant can talk about, because it's like nothing I can do anything about, you know. It's like nothing you can do anything about, nothing I can do anything about. The ultimate decision is you know, accept it, tolerate it, put up with it, support the company, and reap the benefits of everybody else leaving, or you go, you know. It's one of those things.
Yeah, we've just never been in a situation where, I mean, the firm is literally costing us clients. And
yeah, I know. We've never
had a client, you know, ask us to leave our place of employment.
Right. What percentage of your business does that represent?
What is it called? About 7?
7%, yeah.
Have you shared this with the firm?
We have. And immediately after we got back, and I think that really is one of the other issues, Rob, is that email has, in conversations, effectively gone into a black hole, and I have heard nothing.
You take it to your manager?
My manager, yeah. My manager's manager, and my manager's manager's manager.
Wow. Yeah, I'm very sad to hear that. That's too bad.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, that's...
Now, what was the business...
Other than that, we're up 30% so far through this first quarter.
To show you how disinterested I am in headlines and rumors, but there was another rumor or headline or something about your 401k business. What was that?
That came out last week. And it was this I think is just beat a company while they're down.
Yeah.
It essentially said that Wells Fargo's wealth management division is in the business of managing wealth, and that they're in trouble, or that they coerced clients to roll 401k plans over to IRAs so that they would be actively managed by the firm's wealth brokerage division or the fiduciary platform. Well, I mean,
I was correct in ignoring that.
Yeah, isn't that what every firm does? I mean, isn't that what we do?
It's what we're paid for, right?
Yeah.
And last time I checked, we don't coerce anybody into doing anything. I don't think we have any leverage that way.
No.
We're gonna keep your children unless you turn over your IRA to us. You know?
Exactly.
I don't see what the coercion thing is. What, you talk somebody into doing it because they were getting bad service and they had a terrible plan at their company? I mean, I don't understand. Right.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
And
I don't know.
That, I mean, that's the email we got, you know, from a client on, you know, Thursday or Friday. You know, he forwarded that over and said, you know, I'm canceling my meeting with you guys Monday until I can figure out how this impacted me. And we responded accordingly that this doesn't. I mean, you didn't roll any money over, you know, here anyway. You had IRAs that were, you've held for 15 years. I mean, and, you know, it's just, you know, clients read these headlines and then they just jump to conclusions that they were impacted.
Right.
And
so what does it cost your local, branch? In terms of teams and business and things like that, have people left?
They have. Claudia, you may know a little bit better than I. How many?
Yeah, I mean, locally we've lost, you know, a couple people. I don't know what the impact is there, but you know, Rob, my husband is also in the business. He's a regional business manager for a different part of the business, and they lost a $6 million team on Friday. So, certainly it's happening. And it's, you know, to the point where they have things that they're looking for and patterns that they're trying to identify from management perspective in terms of trying to get ahead of who's going to leave next. So it's a tough environment for sure.
Yeah, it is. It's hard. So, you know, I guess you weigh the two things, right? If you are the recipient of these reassignments, that can be a windfall. On the other hand, you know, if it's going to cost you serious amounts of business, then, you know, you have to. And it's never been that it actually costs you business, right? It's more you get annoyed with the local market and you decide to make a change. You know, or you see, you know, I always say it's about 80% management pushing you out and 20% somebody telling you you've got a better story across the street. I don't think anybody really believes the story across the street is that much better. It's the management is pushing them out, you know, and or they have a financial situation they've got to rectify personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And yeah. So, you know, they got underwater on a mortgage or something happened. Anyway, it's, you know, I hate it. I'm sorry for you guys, and I wish you the best. You know, you guys, if you've got to sit down and make your decision on that.
Yeah.
You know, I if you do make your decision and you want some advice once you've made your decision, then I'm happy to confidentially between us, you know, have a conversation as to the way I see the other firms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
That I'm happy to do. You've been a long time client, so you know, and every market is different. So you can have one firm that's wonderful, but the local market is not that good, and the local manager is not that good. So you guys have got to know that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that makes a big difference, you know.
It does. Yeah, we're seeing that right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to have, you know, if you have good, strong management, leadership in the market, it can make all the difference. So, and the markets are changing, you know. The markets have changed so much, even since I retired. You know, we never had independence of any mark, you know, any size or importance. And now, independents are a big factor in the market now. I'm kind of a traditionalist. I prefer the brand, because if something happens, as a client, if something happens, I know I've got that foot having a big company right behind you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And if you go independent, you've got the Bernie Madoff thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so I never encourage people to go independent, because I don't think I think the brand helps. And it's when the brand hurts that it's hard, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I think that's the piece that stings the most, you know, that, you know, while every firm does have their day in the sun, so to speak, this one's been languishing now for, you know, almost 24 months.
I know. It's hard.
It's just been one of the longer ones.
Right.
But, you know, in any event, I mean, you know, we are still plugging along. We're still holding the all the 12-4-2s.
Good.
You know, and I think that's actually put us in a much better position relative to our peers here. You know, the regular level of communication, I think, alleviates, I would say, you know, 90 to 95% of the headaches. You know, that trust factor has certainly been built up in a strong way over the last 2 years. So when you look at the onset of this news breaking and, you know, this coinciding with us starting the Supernova process, I don't think it could have started at a better point. And when clients look at, you know, ultimately, you know, what they own and in their portfolios, I mean, we have also moved, you know, Rob, over the course of the last several years to a discretionary model where clients own individual equities more so now than they ever did. So,
yeah.
You know, they're not being, you know, positioned or sold, you know, never have owned proprietary products. We're continuously, you know, talking about fees and how we can mitigate and lower the overall cost to the portfolio management process. So almost to the antithesis of what you're reading Wells Fargo is, you know, being charged or claimed with, we've moved in almost the exact opposite direction. So I think a lot of our clients recognize that. And you know, when you look at our numbers, you know, as I said, we are up about 30 to 35%. In the first quarter of this year, we had already booked over $1 million in the first 3 months. And then after this month closes, we'll be at 1.3, 1.35. So well on our way to $4 million after last year, coming in at about 3.5, 3.6. So we're still moving in the right direction in terms of doing what we have to do, but just now trying to put ourselves in a situation and understanding that, what sort of negative impact is, the firm going to have and what sort of level is it potentially going to cost us this year.
I'd like to, you hate to, this is frustrating. I mean, it's just, as you guys are, you work so hard to get this right. And, we work, I'm excited for you. I want to be positive, I'm excited. Because when you get back, you want to do that $5 million, right? I mean, how do you do $5 million when you're constantly distracted?
The other side of this coin is that, while there have been, two, three, four, difficult conversations that we've had with a couple of folks. I mean, as I said, they're probably the other 95%. It's reinforced the client relationship to a degree where they're, they're openly, concerned about how we're feeling and what impact it's having on us personally, and, continue to reiterate that the only reason they even have accounts at Wells Fargo is a result of this team. So that's also, at the same time where you have to go through this, you do have those positive feedbacks, to counteract the negative conversations. And fortunately, the negative ones, the positive ones outweigh the negative ones. But, as you said, we're still keeping our head up and we're plugging along. One other positive piece that I'll let, Michael and Claudia touch on that, we've gotten back to, Rob, which candidly we had let falter. And this was, I'll take responsibility for this. This was something that we had let languish for a little bit too long, but we've gotten back to the folders in a really strong way, and it's been very impactful in terms of not letting little things fall through the cracks or just being in a position to where we're more attentive in the client conversation and more attentive to the giving board, if you will, back to the clients. Michael, Claudia, you want to touch on just what we've done the last couple of months in terms of getting back to that process?
Yeah, I can touch on that. I mean, really, Rob, it was just taking a step back and realizing. I think one thing that we do well as a team is just constantly kind of check ourselves in terms of how we're progressing. And as Sean said, we've never missed a monthly call. We may have missed a couple follow-up emails here and there, but in terms of executing, I think, we were executing well, but, we were certainly missing the folders. This allowed us to have a much more organized process, a much more in-depth conversation with the clients, and really keeping up with the follow-up that is required from call to call and making sure that we are staying true to what we promise on our calls on a monthly basis. I think the folders are going to play a key role in that. We've, kind of created a little cover page to help us track the calls and compliance with those calls for each individual client, so we know if we've met them in person or if we've held the calls on a regular basis. And we restructured a little bit the calendar just to fit everybody's time better. But, in terms of Rob always says, our Rob always says good, better, best. I think we were doing a good job. And I think we're well on our way to really making this thing work. We just, I think, have to continue to be consistent with it.
Yeah, it's hard, it's hard to do it perfectly. And then, and there's always the shortcuts they're so tantalizing, you think, well, we can do this, and we can do this, We can do it easier and quicker, and let's not do 4 reviews, let's do 2, and, let's do, shorten up the calls, and why do we need to really send an agenda? And why do we need to send an executive summary? I mean, they're all, you're right, it's good, better, best. And it's, you know, are you really, it's good to be a champion, it's good to be good, but are you really elite? Elite athletes, elite, you know, Blue Angels or Special Forces or any of the people that call themselves elite. The key is the attention to detail. The key is to maintain the process. And in the process is the genius. In the process is the brilliance of the execution. You know, when you drop the process, then you tend to make mistakes and, or you leave things out. Everything can be then shortcutted. And that's when teams, you know, great teams lose. They lose. If Alabama didn't have Nick Saban in his process and being such a crazy person about it, they wouldn't continue with at least coming close, if not winning, national championships every year. So the question is, you know, you can be good, as you say. You can be better, but can you be the very best without adhering to a process that's proven? I suggest no, you can't. And things are going to fall through the cracks, and you're going to be less than your best self. And I always say to do it for the newest person on the team. You know, the senior people, they can do okay, they can wing it, and they can get by, and they've been successful, and they've got their money, and life is good. But for the new person on the team, you know, the newest person, you want them to have the same opportunities that you had and to be as excited about the team as you were when you first joined or when you first felt you were really good. So is it hard to be really good? Yes. It's hard to be really, really good and sustain it for long periods of time. But is it worth it? Yes, because look, I mean, just look at you guys, the 12-4-2, compared to your peers, and your ability to retain clients and create intimacy with those clients that you never would have had before. And yes, the folders add to it, but so does the agenda, and so does the executive summary. And so does giving the clients their folder and making sure they're using them. Every detail that we suggest creates this all-encompassing process that leads you to more introductions, better satisfaction by the clients, and more balance in your life and more satisfaction on your part for the job you're doing. So I'll get off my soapbox, but that I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad you admit it, and I'm glad you're back on track because I think it makes all the difference. Are you using the agendas and the executive summaries?
We are.
Good. Good.
Good. Yeah, and the folders are allowing us, I think, a higher level of accountability. Rob, Claudia has put it, she said this, you know, little, like a little checklist on the front of every folder. And, you know, effectively as we're handling it, you know, Claudia will put forth the agenda and put forth the materials in terms of the attachments that go out to the client. She'll then put the folder on my desk. I will then execute the call, send the follow-up email, and then in the email, copy everyone on the team, and if there's follow-up in there for Michael to get done, I then, you know, mark off and put my little check marks on the front page, and then Michael is handed to him, and he can execute any follow-up that's needed. So the accountability piece in the folder can't go back into the enter the drawer, and so every check is on that front page.
That's really good. Especially when you have multiple hands handling it. You know,
yep.
If it was just two hands or four hands, that'd be one thing. But when you have six hands handling it, I like the check marks. I like that a lot.
Yeah, and I think having, you know, different people in at different parts of the process also makes it more accountable because, you know, Sean can't decide not to send the agenda because that was part of my process. You know, Michael can't decide not to do the follow-up because then we'll catch it the next time around. So I think splitting the process into what is three now, I don't know where that will evolve, but I think helps to make sure we don't take those shortcuts as we had in the past.
It's really, really good, Claudia. That's brilliant.
That's a good point, Claudia. You're right. Yeah.
See, that's the key to Supernova. It is, I know, you know, you think, well, Supernova is 1242, but no, Supernova is having Claudia. That's the key, Claudia. You're the key to this thing. If you're not there, Sean can wing it. And that's where the whole thing breaks down. Not because Sean isn't a good person or isn't competent. It's because he can wing it. See, with you, he cannot wing it. He cannot. The accountability is there. So when somebody asks you about Supernova, you tell them the key to Supernova is having the team be engaged. Not just the FA. And the FA is accountable to the team. That's the key. Okay? The administrator, the operations person, the office manager, the person that is running the operation is the key element of this thing. And if you don't do your job, Claudia, that's where it breaks down. Okay. So, Sean, you just need, and Rob just needs to be very supportive of Claudia and say, look, you gotta do this. and cross-train everybody in it. You know, in case you're sick or Michael can do it. You know?
Right.
Somebody has to be able to step in and do Claudia's job if she can't get to work or is sick or something happens. Because that's the key person in the whole thing. It's great to hear it because, you know, frankly, this is when Supernova is tested, right? You guys have been doing this a long time now. And the question is, you know, how does it hold up over time? And is it powerful enough to make it worth the effort? And you guys, and you're telling me it is. And that's what keeps me going. Why, you know, I don't need to sell Supernova anymore, you know?
You're right, Rob. I mean, we've even, you know, had our, Michael and Claudia and I had our monthly reviews sit downs last week. And, you know, we went through a couple of names that either still haven't adopted it. And we gave a list to Michael about transitioning those clients out of our practice, out of our book.
Good.
You know, we're continuing to trim that number and continuing to, you know, again, right-size the book. You know, one, just because the quality of the relationship is so much better and, you know, just from the work-life balance, having the appropriate people in this just makes our job fun and a lot easier working with people that, you know, we can, one, have that connection with, get along with, and don't look at each other cross-eyed when we see that number, you know, ring on the caller ID and the phone in the office.
Right. No, at this stage, you guys could teach Supernova really well. I'd almost wish you could, because there's so much credibility and there's so much sincerity and so much knowledge of the practice. Of Supernovas, it's almost like you need to teach it. You have a great message. It's very, very powerful.
We're trying to deliver that message to the, you know, to management here, you know, because quite everyone. I think we only added maybe one or two clients last year, Rob, I mean, to the overall practice. And I think, you know, again, I think the Willows news is hindering that. But we're still growing, you know, last year over 20%. And where we are right now, you know, up about 30% from last year. And we're doing that. I think that's as a result of the communication that we're having with clients. And, you know, we're not in an acquisition mode. We're in a maintain and grow, you know, internally what we have. And we're able to do that while the book still has, you know, 95% of it is just, you know, reoccurring fee-based business, which I think really speaks to the testament of how powerful this thing is.
Well, I've always found it curious as to when some people are doing so well and you ask them specifically what it is that you're doing that differentiates you from the rest of the field, and you tell them, you actually have an answer that they don't act on it immediately. It's like bizarre. You know, if I were management and you guys are doing as well as you were, I'd be like, get this Rob Knapp on the phone now.
Yeah, good point. We've had that conversation multiple times.
You know, I've always said this. Just because you have the cure for cancer does not mean that you've cured cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, this is a perfect example. Obesity is another perfect example. I mean, we know the cure for obesity. I mean, we know the cure for much of type 2 diabetes, and which is obesity. And we can't convince people, even though it's statistically proven, to manage their weight. No. So here we got an example of, and I can give you story after story, example after example, of Supernova curing the problem of no growth. No growth is an epidemic among the major firms.
Mm-hmm.
And Supernova, done right, with the amount of attention to detail that you're bringing, will cure the problem of no growth. Yet, just like obesity, they do not truly in their hearts either want the solution or believe it would actually work for them. So it works for everybody else, but it won't work for me. You've heard that with people in the stock market, right? Stock market's the only way answer to long-term growth and protection from inflation. It's the only answer. I mean, real estate, yes, can work. Gold can work. But the stock market's the most consistent, proven way of growing wealth. And yet, can you get everybody involved in the stock market? No. So that's why it still takes a salesman.
Mm-hmm.
Still takes somebody out there convincing people, even though statistically it's proven, that they need to get invested and stay invested.
Right.
So you always have a job. You know, people say, well, will robocops ever take over the industry? And I go, no. They said, because people are not convinced the statistics are correct.
You know, Robert, that's exactly right. I mean, that goes back to the, you know, comment you had about the article about Wells Fargo and IRAs and 401ks. You know, I can think of, you know, two or three that we, you know, rolled over in the last several years with clients who effectively had, you know, $7 million in their 401k plans and bonds and were never comfortable making that allocation decision. So they could have had the cheapest alternative within their 401k plan, but never would have executed on it until they transferred it into our management. And we walked them through the 1242 process and allowed them to be more comfortable with that allocation. So,
right.
You know, that argument just goes right out the window. Yes, it's cheaper in a vacuum, but if a client doesn't execute on anything, you know, how cheap is it?
And now look at the return over the last 8 years those people have had coming out of bonds, in equities, doubled their money, as compared to, you know, where they would have been with bonds.
Right.
So, you know, we just have to keep going, and we keep going, and we keep the persistent process and just helping. And but I do think from your point of view, if you can help others by teaching Supernova, it is good for you. It's hard to imagine from your point of view, but it is actually good for you because it reinforces your process. So if I were your manager, I would be taking you around to different offices, introducing you, and having you tell the story, which would then convince other people to do it. And you would therefore, you'd be better off because of it. So if you do get a chance, by the way, to speak because of your because you're good, take that chance. Take that time to go and speak. Don't do it all the time. That's take away too much from your work. But do it a couple times a year and go and give talks on how well you do things. And it's good for you and it's good for your team. If you can take your whole team and have everybody speak, it's even better because it's a great demonstration of your of what you do and how you do it. It's recognition for what you do, and you should be recognized. I mean, it's, I mean, we all do things for lots of reasons, but the skills that you'll learn from telling your story will reinforce your process. And every time you tell it, you come back and go, you know what, I think we could do this a little better. Because I talked about it, and I don't think we're doing it as well as we tell it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the use of the folders, you know. You got back to it for a reason. And what was the reason you got back to the folders?
I think it was that check and balances piece. I mean, I think it was, you know, I think we saw, I mean, to Claudia's point, maybe a couple of agendas didn't go out. Maybe a couple of, you know, executive summary emails didn't go out after the fact. And when you start to get into that and you miss one or two, you know, I think, you know, two turn into three or four to five to six, and I think that that potentially snowballs. So just to tighten our process and to make sure that we are in front of these clients and we are, you know, continuing to develop and increase that trust factor and just the accountability, I think was just integral as to why we got back to this.
Claudia, I know it sounds simple, but would you do me a favor and just take a picture of that check mark, stick 'em or whatever you're using?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, just take a picture of it and email it to me. I would really appreciate it. I know it's, you know, Supernova is all about the simple little things that make the process better, right? And for me, if that works for you, it might just work for other people because maybe they're getting off track and this helps them stay on track. I don't know. You do it. You see, you do it. You tell me it works, I'm going to tell everybody it works.
So, yeah, and it really, we're hoping, and you'll see they're not, you know, filled in, but hopefully this is going to give us a historical record so that we can easily glance down and say, you know, this is a client we've been consistently talking to, just the history of what's happened real quick. And really for Rob and Sean, because they do most of the calls together, but on occasion one is traveling.
Right.
Or there's overlap, and it's just a way if one of them grabs the folder, they know what happened very quickly.
Yeah. Oh, that's really smart. It's really smart. And see, I use my notes, right? And I mark down on my notes, you know, month five, this is what we did. And then if we agree on some homework, I'll write that down. So, you know, I would think the notes would do that, but you're saying that this works better than just the notes.
And it's a bullet point. It's just a quick reference point. And I think it has to do a lot with the way our team is structured and the fact that it's not the same advisor on every call. So it's, you know, the notes are there as well. Like if you were to open up the folders, especially Rob, he takes a lot of notes. So those are captured inside. But it's just the bullet points. It's the quick and dirty. Did we talk to this person last month? Did we, you know, finish the follow up? Was there anything special? How many times have we seen them in person?
It's great.
I will turn that over to you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Well, guys, it breaks my heart, honestly. I know that sounds dramatic, but it does. You're doing things so well. It's just, it's heartbreaking when things happen that you can't do anything about. I hope, you get through it. You will get through it one way or the other. I know that. And, hopefully better times are ahead, either one way or the other, they will be. And, anyway, if I can help down the road, please let me know. But I think you're doing great, and I'm glad you're on track, and nothing's keeping you guys from your mission. And that's so important because, I guarantee you, that's not happening with every cubicle or every office in their area, right?
No, we don't. No.
Yeah, I know. All right. Thanks, guys. Anything
appreciate
else?
Thanks. No, I think that's it. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right, great. Okay. Thanks for the update. I appreciate it. Okay. Bye-bye.